good evening, everyone. This is DJ Sam I Am here at the Power Hour at radio.dominican.edu. That was just DJ Juice here at the Hotspot, always keeping it hot. Thank you, DJ Juice. Before we get started with the show, if any of you guys missed the men's soccer game that happened yesterday, kickoff was at 4:30 p.m. We played Hawaii Pacific University. Very hard-fought game. Unfortunately, I could not play that game. I did get a red card, but our boys did fight really hard. We did lose to a heartbreaker 2-1. Freshman Colby Mitnick had a wonderful unassisted goal late in the first half where he juked about six players at the top of the 18 to finally get a 1v1 against the keeper, slotted it right through in the back of the net. Good job, Colby. We started a total of 8 freshmen on the starting lineup yesterday, which is pretty unheard of, and came close to being an HPU team that came in second last year in the Pac West. Second. They are no slouch. Very good team, and we fought very hard. The DU soccer team, we play their next game Wednesday at 3:30 here at Dominican. Come support us. We're going to need your support. So basically what I'm going to get you into today are a jam-packed Sunday full of football. I'm going to give you a power hour of all football talk, of all the games that happen Sunday. Stay tuned. This is radio.dominican.edu, DJ Sam I Am.
Get away, get away for you.
And welcome back to the Power Hour with DJ Sam I Am. First topic, first game of the NFL that I like to talk about, and unfortunately we do have to talk about it. It is the 49ers losing yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, it was a heartbreaker, and if you were watching SportsCenter any time in the past 20 hours, you know what the score was, you know about Tony Romo, you know a little bit about the game, so just going to give you a little bit of a bigger storyline about the game. The ending score, of course, was a 27-24 overtime loss where the Niners were leading most of the game. I mean, it just seems like that's always what the Niners do. They lead for a long time. They lead throughout the game. And at the end, they just cannot end up finishing the game with a win. They always end up losing. Now, Tony Romo, the big storyline of the game. Now, during the game, he left the game. They said it was a broken rib that he had. Today, they found out it was a broken rib and a punctured lung. Sorry about that. You got to give Tony Romo some props, even though you don't like giving him props because it's really fun hating on him. A lot of people hate on Tony Romo, but he did step up. He went 20 for 33, 340 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 2 broken ribs, and 1 punctured lung. Not a bad day. He is questionable for his next Monday night game against, not sure about that, but he plays against the Washington Redskins next Monday night. He's very questionable for that game. It'll probably be a game time decision. See if he can step up. Now back to the Niners. Again, winning most of the game. They're playing extremely well against a really good Dallas team who some even have that. They're Super Bowl contenders, even though they have the experts, and I have the parentheses over the experts. They always have the Cowboys are about to win the Super Bowl, or they're Super Bowl favorites. It feels like every year they're Super Bowl favorites, and everyone gets let down. Anyway, again, another big game for Romo. Now, it was this game could have been a season-ending game right here. If the Cowboys lose, they're 0-2 to start the season, with Tony Romo out with a broken rib and a punctured lung. I mean, I couldn't even begin to imagine just all of the hecklers and the doubters and how much trash talking there would be talked about the Cowboys being 0-2. The world would just be criticizing Romo and the Cowboys. I mean, when Romo wasn't in the game and the backup John Kitna came in, he had 10 pass attempts and threw 2 interceptions. That's not going to get it done. Really, they need Romo. And if they don't have Romo, they have nothing. You know he wasn't going to win the game for the Cowboys, so Romo actually manned up. He went out for a little bit, saw that the Niners were stepping up. They were 10 points ahead, and Romo said, screw it, I'm going in. I need my team needs me. And he sacked up and hit Jesse Hawley for a 77-yard catch that set up a 19-yard chip shot in overtime to win it. I mean, what – For San Fran fans out there, what are we missing? Now, in my opinion, we're missing 2 words, Frank Gore. I mean, he is what our offense, this is what our offense runs around. Like, he is the motor that goes. I mean, he only ran for 47 yards against the Cowboys, which just means that our offensive line isn't getting it done. He's not getting it done. Play calling isn't getting it done. I mean, the only reason why the Niners have come even close to winning the NFC West, and the NFC West isn't even a good division, but the only reason why that we came close to winning the NFC West is because of Frank Gore and what he can do on the field. I mean, him and Patrick Willis are the 49ers. Without them, we have no identity, maybe along with Vernon Davis, but we need Frank Gore. And in my opinion, what one problem could be is we have no one behind Frank Gore. I mean, as soon as you see Frank Gore in the backfield behind Alex Smith, you know the defense, that's all they're thinking about. That's all that we basically have. They're going to let Alex Smith have the ball and try to let Alex Smith beat us, not have Frank Gore beat us. I mean, the typical and the most predictable play calling you can ever imagine runs up the middle, run the Frank Gore up the middle. He's going to get 2 yards tops. We're going to go 3 out every time. It's really a really frustrating thing to see. We need someone behind Frank Gore. I'm saying we need an electric back who could stretch the defense, maybe throw a halfback sweep out to the outside, stretch the defense, which then will lead up for those run up the middles for Frank Gore. We could do the power O up the middle for Frank Gore to run right through the defense after we have an explosive person who we can throw to the outside. Then you have both of them in the backfield. Defense has to respect both of you. Now the defense isn't always predicting that you're just going to give the ball to Frank Gore. This will also open up the passing game for Vernon Davis, because Vernon Davis has also been very quiet the first couple games. I mean, I would just like to see one more playmaker to be added to the 49er offense just to give us some depth. I mean, it's really frustrating to see the same thing happen as it was happening last year. We're winning in close games. And at the end, our defense screws up. We don't have enough plays to make at the end. We don't have enough playmakers to come back from a loss. It's just a frustrating thing to handle, especially when a lot of your soccer teammates are Cowboys fans, and you know who you are if you're listening. Ugh, I hate hearing that the Cowboys beat us. All right, we'll go to the next game. Now, this Sunday night game, it was a very, very, very fun game to watch. I mean, before the game even started, there was a lot of hype because it was Vic coming back to Atlanta, first game back in Atlanta with a different team. You know, there's going to be a lot of emotions with the crowd. Some are going to like Mike Vick. Some are going to miss him. Some are going to absolutely hate him. Mike Vick had his mixed emotions on going to the game. He said he'd be fine. We'll see what happens. I mean, at the end, we'll give you the score at the end. Falcons come away at the victory, 35-31. So it was a nail-biting game. If you didn't see it, Mike Vick came out late in the third quarter with a concussion, done for the game. He'd been sacked, and the defensive end wrapped him up and kind of tried to throw him to the ground, but instead of throwing him to the ground, he basically threw him into an Eagles lineman, and Mike Vick's head just got smacked up against this lineman's shoulder. I mean, it was a pretty scary accident. I thought it was going to be his neck or his back that was going to be hurt, because he jolted. He had a bad whiplash. I thought he could have been out for the rest of the year. That would have been bad. I have him in way too many fantasy football leagues for him to be out the rest of the year. He should be okay for next game. Who knows? It's a concussion. It depends if he could pass his concussion tests. Who knows? But fortunately, it was a concussion, because I thought it could have been a very worse, maybe a neck strain or something wrong with his back. I mean, the guy was spitting up blood walking off the sideline. You know he wasn't feeling too hot. I'm just glad that it was just a concussion. Hopefully we can see him back on the field next week. The Falcons offense, after Mike Vick came out, it just seemed like they had all the confidence in the world after they saw Mike Vick go out. They scored 14 unanswered points, and rightly so. I mean, behind Mike Vick, they had Vince Young, but he got injured in the preseason. So now they had to go to Mike Kafka. Yeah, from Northwestern, Mike Kafka. I mean, he got thrown into this game. I didn't know what to expect from this guy. I had never heard of his name. I had never seen any of his stats. But to be perfectly honest, he did very, very, very well, I thought, in his game. I mean, he came into a hostile environment with a lot of pressure on him, trying to back up Mike Vick, and he made some great throws down the stretch, downfield. Unfortunately, on a fourth down play with time running out, he threw a quick slant to hit Macklin in the middle, and Macklin just flat out dropped the ball. It hit Macklin right in the fingertips. Totally missed it. I'm calling him Jeremy Butterfingers Macklin, because that was pretty embarrassing. I can make that catch. You are getting paid to make that catch. You need to make that catch. I mean, it's very unfortunate for Kafka, because he played very good, and Macklin is a very good young receiver. I'm not taking that anything away from him. He is very talented. Him and DeSean Jackson could be the best duo in the league if Macklin could actually catch a 5-yard quick slant in the fourth quarter. Maybe Macklin was just still seeing stars after his hit that he got earlier in the game. Now, if you didn't see this hit, it was by Dante Robinson. He's now being fined $40,000 by the league for his hit against Jeremy Macklin last night. This is the second year in a row, too, that Dante Robinson has been fined in a Philadelphia-Atlanta game. Last year, he destroyed DeSean Jackson. Took DeSean Jackson right out of the game, gave him a concussion. It was a pretty gnarly hit. Led with his head there. And today, or yesterday, he led with his head again. I mean, if you didn't see it, I mean, you can look it up, but viewer discretion is advised because this play was really dirty. It was a crossing pattern by Jeremy Maclin. Mike Vick hits him in stride. As soon as he starts turning up for the field, here comes Donte Robinson. Just leaves his feet, leads with his helmet, and literally smacks Maclin right up against the chin. Not even the helmet. It wasn't like the side of the helmet or the front of the helmet. It hit him in the chin. And I was watching with a teammate of mine, and we were scared. I thought Maclin was dead. I don't see anyone living through that without a broken jaw or without anything. But surprisingly, Maclin just walks off the field, comes back in 3 plays later, and he's perfectly fine. Now, I have definitely been the one who has criticized the NFL and the referees in the NFL with their hits as of late. Now, there have been some really, really bad calls out there for trying to protect the players too much, trying to protect them when they're losing the whole meaning of football and how that it's a contact sport. And people are going to get hit hard sometimes. It's just the nature of the game. But the referees were spot on this hit. This was a very extremely dirty hit. I'm surprised Donte Robinson didn't get fined more because this is his second time doing it to the same team. I feel like it should have been more. Now, sources say that he is going to appeal it. He did appeal his hit last year and got it cut in half. So we'll see what happens this year. He's definitely going to try to appeal it because they had asked him about it, and he said that he thought it was a clean hit. Apparently, he didn't see the film or the replay, or doesn't know the rules of football, because you're not supposed to hit a player with your helmet right up against the chin. It's not supposed to happen. That's not football. That's just dirty play. Now, although the Falcons did win, I noticed this toward the end of the game. They tried to lose. Atlanta tried to lose the game, and this is where I saw why they tried to lose. The punter for the Falcons, Matt Bosher. Now this was way before the fourth quarter. It's in the third quarter. He's pinned in his own end zone, and he hit an 18-yard punt. 18-yard punt. Yeah, I said it. 18. That literally is the worst punt that I have ever witnessed in my life. I mean, my sister can kick farther than that. The Falcons. It's just unthinkable. I can't see a professional punter missing a punt and hitting it 18 yards out of bounds. I don't see how you can do that. Anyway, fourth quarter. This is the same punter. He's out there. He's gonna kick it 18 yards. No, he's about to punt in the fourth quarter. 15 seconds left. Now, if you go back to last year, before we even get to it again, we're gonna go back even more. Last year, it was a Monday night game, Giants and Eagles, toward the end of the year. It was in December. Now, there's about 8 seconds left in this game last year, and it's a tie game, 31-31. Now, it's the New York Giants are going to punt, and what you want to see is this is what should happen. The New York Giants punter kicks it out of bounds as high as he can. The 8 seconds run out. Then you play some overtime football. But last year, it was, let's kick it to DeSean Jackson. And what does DeSean Jackson do? He runs it back for the game-winning touchdown as the time expires, game over. Okay? So, having this in mind, what do the Atlantic Falcons do? Oh, no big deal. Let's just kick it down the middle again and see how good DeSean Jackson really is. That's what they did. They kicked it right to him again. And, I mean, if you're up 4 points at that time, which they were, the Atlanta Falcons, they were up 4 points. I would rather have our kicker kick an 18-yard kick outside of bounds rather than kick it down the middle to DeSean Jackson, who's one of the most dangerous punt returners in the game right now. I mean, this guy is lightning fast, and he's a Cal Bear. Just a little side note. I mean, as soon as DeSean Jackson caught the ball, I mean, you looked at him and you're like, oh my God, is he going to do it again? You saw him. He had a lot of room up the middle. He had a couple lanes to run with, work with. I was just waiting for him to hit it to the house. But thank God for the Atlanta Falcons that their coverage team actually was able to stop DeSean Jackson. They won the game. But it wasn't when Atlanta, they tried to lose. They tried to lose that game in front of everyone. Now, if you didn't see it also, like I said before, you didn't really know if Mike Vick or the Atlanta Falcons fans would have been kind of angered at each other or if they would have loved Mike Vick. Well, when Mike Vick got injured, he was walking off the field, and I don't know if you guys knew this, but I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, I guess, were booing him, heckling him off the way of the field, and Mike Vick starts pointing to the scoreboard, taunting the fans. And this was when they were up 10 points or so, and he's taunting them. And what does he do? He goes to the locker room, and then Atlanta ends up winning. So there's a little karma for Mike Vick. Don't talk smack when the game isn't over. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions and the Buffalo Bills. Are you kidding me? 2-0? Stay tuned. This is Power Hour with DJ Sam I Am at radio.dominican.edu. That you never wore. This is breaking news at the bottom of the hour. Today, Monday afternoon, a 10th person has died of injuries suffered when a plane participating in an air race in Reno, Nevada plummeted into a crowd of spectators. A hospital treating patients from Friday's accident. 7 people, including the pilot, were killed on the tarmac, while 3 others died at area hospitals. Close to 70 people were injured. Investigators with the National Transportation Safety Board announced Sunday that the small World War II era plane was equipped with data and video recording devices that they hope to use to help determine what happened and why.
You're my girlfriend, and I'll be in between. Yes, you're my girlfriend.
and welcome back to the Power Hour with DJ Sam. I am at the one, the only radio.dominican.edu. Now, before we left the break last time, I did mention, and I'm sure you guys thought about it for a while, but yes, the Detroit Lions and the Buffalo Bills are both 2-0. Now, before I get up into that business and that whole hoopla that I don't even know what's about to happen, I'm going to give you a quick update on the Monday night game that is playing right now. New York Giants are right now, it's up ahead of the St. Louis Rams, 28-16. It is now the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, so it looks like the New York Giants are going to take this one and take this Monday night game, but the St. Louis Rams did play very well and gave New York a run for their money. Now, some quick stats. Sam Bradford went 22 of 44 with 331 yards and a touchdown. Eli Manning, on the other side, 18 of 29 for 200 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Ahmad Bradshaw had 15 carries for 59 yards, while Brandon Jacobs had 13 carries for 49 yards and one touchdown for the New York Giants. And as you know, that Steven Jackson was out for this Monday night game, so Cadillac Williams stepped up, had 13 carries for only 36 yards. So, looks like New York Giants are going to win it. Good game for them. Now, back to the Detroit Lions, because this is a fun topic to talk about. Now, 2008, you guys remember these Detroit Lions. They were 0-16. You better remember them. That's the first team to ever go 0-16. Now, I mean, they did play the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, but, I mean, that's still an NFL caliber team, and they whooped on the Kansas City Chiefs. They whooped on them 48-3. This was the Lions' biggest win. Now, listen to this stat. Lions' biggest win since their last time in the NFL Championship Super Bowl in 1957. They beat the Cleveland Browns. Now, that's a pretty impressive stat. They have an NFC leading 4 interceptions this year. That's right. They're leading the NFC in a category. It's pretty nuts. I'm not sure. It's hard to see the Detroit Lions up there in the top kind of categories of the league, because normally they're at the very bottom, dead last, and you could always expect them to be at the bottom. Now, can I just say it one more time, because it's really fun to say the Lions are looking extremely good. They're 2-0. Like, it's just mind-boggling. It's trapping my mind in a bottle. They haven't given up a sack this year, which is unheard of. They haven't given up a sack, which is good, because I feel like that first sack is just going to injure Matt Stafford, because in the past, we know Matt Stafford can get injured pretty damn easily. I mean, the past 2 years, he's gotten injured. So that's if they can keep Matt Stafford healthy, I feel like they have a very good shot at making the playoffs. And I'm going to go out bold, and I'm going to say it. They have a very talented team. Their defense is very talented. They have a lot of young draft picks that they drafted. I see them doing very well. They're like I said before, they're a very young, talented team, and they're a lot of fun to watch too. They have a lot of athletic people, aka Calvin Johnson. He is just so much fun to watch. The Lions, you remember how much of a laughing stock they were last year. I mean, it's just amazing to see them improve so much. But like I said, they did play the Kansas City Chiefs, and horrible news for fantasy football owners and the Chiefs. Jamaal Charles out for the year with a torn ACL now. Now, if you don't know who Jamaal Charles is, he's just a freak of an athlete. He kind of came up on the scene last year or in the year before that with just incredible, just 85-yard runs, just incredible runs. But now he is injured for the rest of the season, along with their young safety. And we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs now. Their young safety, Eric Berry from Tennessee, and their tight end, Tony Maioki. They're also out for the season. So the bad thing about the Chiefs, and this is bad news for Chiefs fans. I mean, they're coming off a 34-point loss to the Bills the week before, and now you're getting scraped by the Detroit Lions 48-3. I see the Chiefs having the worst record in the league. Now, that's just me. They do not look good at all. Matt Castle needs to step up. But they just don't have anyone to throw it to. Now that Jamaal Charles is out, no one's going to run it for them. They're in a whole world of hurt. Now, speaking of those Buffalo Bills, They are 2-1 or 2-0. Sorry, 2-0. Just like the Detroit Lions. Yes, the Bills and the Lions are both 2-0. I'll say it one more time. This is it. I absolutely love this. I mean, it is really fun to watch these two teams who have literally struggled for so long. It has been so long since they've ever had a hint of success, and now they do, and it's fun to see them produce in the win column. Now, let's take a moment here. And as I was seeing that the Detroit Lions are 2-0 and so are the Buffalo Bills, I kind of want to just picture this. Let's try to picture the Detroit Lions and the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. Okay, we're done trying that because it'll never happen. But I mean, it's fun seeing the Bills and the Lions both 2-0. Now the Bills, they beat the Oakland Raiders 38-35 in a nail biter. That it happened in Buffalo. The Bills quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, threw a 6-yard touchdown pass to David Nelson with just 14 seconds left in the game. It was also a fourth down play, that play, which just made it even more, just made Ryan Fitzpatrick under more pressure. And the Bills scored touchdowns on all five of their second half possessions and overcame a 21-3 first half deficit. Sorry about that. The Bills are led by running back Fred Jackson, who had 2 scores and 117 yards for the Bills. Fitzpatrick had a big impact too, going for 26 for 48 with 260 yards from scrimmage. Not bad from those two. Keep it up. The end of the game was really why this was a very interesting game, though. If you guys didn't see the game, Jason Campbell heaved a 65 to 70 yard pass to the end zone with time expiring in regulation. Now there was a group of people in the end zone. It was just a Hail Mary pass, like a typical Hail Mary pass at the end of regulation. And there was a million hands, it seemed like, going for this ball. And you see a Bills rookie, Denoris Searcy. You see his hands just a little bit higher than everyone else's and the other receivers around him. Now, it looked like Searcy, the rookie from the Buffalo Bills, and another wide receiver kind of caught it at the same time, and as they were going down, they were wrestling at it, but we'll get that to later. Now, it could have been ugly. Now, what you're taught as a defensive back, and I know this from just experience watching football all my life, when you, on a Hail Mary pass as a defender, and you're going up for the ball, you are taught to do one thing and one thing only, and that is knock the ball down. Knock it down. As soon as you try to go up to intercept that ball, too many times is that ball going to go right through the defender's hands, right into the hands of the offensive player, and then your coach is going to yell you all night, all week of practice next week. Now, the rookie didn't do this. He went up for the interception, but fortunately for the Bills, he did catch the ball, but it was just after the game. It took 10 minutes after that play for the refs to officially call the game. I mean, both teams were in the locker room. The stadium was basically empty at the time. And then the game was officially decided. I mean, what if the refs called that back and said it was a joint catch? Now, what a joint catch means is when both the defender and the player on offense catch the ball at the same time. Now, when this happens, it's just like baseball, when the runner gets to the bag at the same time as the ball does. Like when they're running to first, and you'll always hear this phrase in baseball, tie goes to the runner. Well, a joint catch is just the same thing, where the tie goes to the offensive player. So if they ruled that a joint catch, I mean, I could only imagine. And they gave Oakland the win when the teams were back still outside in the locker room, when people weren't even watching the game anymore, and they actually had the guts to call the Raiders to win. I mean, I just see that there'd be a lot of complaints toward the refs and their decisions. But then I was thinking about it. It is just the Raiders and the Buffalo Bills. Like, I don't see the world ever seeing this game as a big enough deal to even care. So we'll take a quick break. And when we get back, I will give you a recap of all the scores on Sunday and the ending score of this New York Giants St. Louis Rams game. So do not go anywhere. This is the Power Hour with DJ Sam I Am at radio.dominican.edu.
man, it ain't that hard. From Ave to Ave to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. The hate they scream, they all blaspheme. So I put them on the wall like they all flat screen. I stand tall, they be ballin' all black teams. And all that talk you talk is just bad dreams. Dudes is lame, they don't wanna change things. It seems the underground scene has gone mainstream. You spit mediocre, but what really amazed me, that chip on your shoulder, you're not Jay-Z. And me, I be the block's James Dean. I swear shots will ring if I start to say things. These teams dig a green, talk machines in their jeans. M16s with scopes and F-beams. Hip-hop dreams with hopes to get seen. Like rehab fiends, drop coke and get clean. From the cash they clock, they got emeralds. We hit the band from Glocks and not Emerald. No, it's not simple, I will not drop pencil. I will only rock hot hip-hop instrumentals. Rap stencils, try to box me in, but I break out the box quick like Frosty. I drink my white kids. Ideas from behind my eyelids to my lips, make my shit nice, this crisis. Grip my devices in times of crisis. Now bump this niceness inside your Chrysler's. J-O-B, I'm on my job. Once I spit from the gut, man, it ain't that hard. From Ave to Ave to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. J-O-B, I'm on my job. Once I spit from the gut, man, it ain't that hard. From Ave to Ave to your boulevard, I'ma have the whole world like, oh my God. My target, get up out the shitty apartment and tear apart shit like most signs to raucous. You be the first one to scream at you ballin'. Why would you lie like the month before August? How could you fly when you wanted to fall and make hope face ghosts with bulletproof wallets? Polished, I'm a product of all this. Two shots for Tupac and Christopher Wallace.
And welcome back. This is the Power Hour with DJ Sam I Am at radio.dominican.edu. Now, the last game I want to talk about, now, we'll talk about this one guy first before we talk about the score of the game. Now, I'm not sure if you know him. He used to go to my high school, Unipro Serra High School in San Mateo, California. I'm not sure if you know him. You probably have heard of him before. His name's Tom Brady. Yeah, you might know him. He's a quarterback for the Patriots. Well, Tom Brady's actually a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. If you haven't noticed already, I mean, it's no big deal. He just threw for 423 yards yesterday, and that's after he broke a record and threw 517 yards the week before. Now, in my eyes, he's the best quarterback out there right now. I mean, the way he can just stand under the center, read the defense, go to, and every wide receiver is most of the time just wide open. It's just simple. He just makes the game so simple. Now, the Patriots beat the Chargers. The San Diego Chargers, 35-21, and in my eyes, the Patriots put their names on the top of the AFC with their win yesterday. I mean, I don't see the Patriots losing. I mean, I know they will, but they just look so goddamn good. Now, with the excellent performance by Brady and the fact that the Chargers turned the ball over three times inside the Patriot 35-yard line, three times. Now, really, no team can expect a positive result when you turn the ball over three times, let alone do it inside the opponent's 35-yard line. I mean, it gives some credit to the Chargers. It's pretty amazing that they were actually in it through most of the game until Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis sealed the deal with a touchdown run late in the fourth quarter. If the turnover battle is the most important thing in the game. If you can limit your turnovers and keep the ball the most, you have the better chance of winning. Now, we'll run you through before we run out of time here on the Power Hour at radio.dominican.edu. I'll run through the scores that happened this weekend. Green Bay beat the Carolina Panthers 30-23. Cleveland beat Indianapolis 27-19. That makes Indy 0-2 without Peyton Manning. They're in a lot of trouble. The young Tampa Bay Buccaneers came back and beat the Minnesota Vikings 24-20. New Orleans smashed on the Chicago Bears 30-13. The Jets smashed on Jacksonville 32-3. Pittsburgh shut out the Seattle Seahawks 24-0. Tennessee inched their way ahead of Baltimore 26-13 with the upset. Washington just sneaked by Arizona 22-21. And Denver beat the Cincinnati Bengals 24-22. And lastly, the Houston Texans beat the Miami Dolphins 23-13. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this Power Hour here on the radio.dominican.edu. Please join me next week. Hope you, I'll miss you guys. I'll see you next week. Have a good night.